Yeah, we're in part two of Fracture, and we started this series last week. If you're jumping in this week for the first week, what we said last week was simply this, that eventually pain and difficulty and struggle and hardship eventually are a part of every life, that pain and hardship, eventually hurt comes to every life, and it comes to everyone eventually. And we said that's just kind of a fact. Even Jesus promised, one of the best, you know, most encouraging promises of Jesus, he said, in this life you will have trouble. And we're all really grateful for that promise of Jesus, right? That Jesus, when he was talking to disciples, he's like, oh yeah, of everything I'm going to say, just remember, you're going to have trouble. And we said that it's a part of every life. And when we experience hurt, when we experience pain, what we often kind of think is that, oh man, am I always going to be defined by this? Is this going to be the defining mark of the rest of my life? Will I always have these scars? Will I always have this hardship? Will this relationship always be difficult? Am I just kind of broken? Am I broken and damaged beyond repair? And what we started off last week by saying, and I think this is such an important principle to help us build off, is simply this, that life hurts and life is going to hit you and life may eventually crack you, but with God, we are never broken beyond repair. And I hope that brings hope. I hope that brings encouragement. That God will allow us to be cracked, but God will, when we are following God, when we are trusting in God, when we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we are never broken beyond repair. That God has healing and God has hope for every single hurt that we will ever experience. And so that's where we kind of took off last week. We said that we're all noticed, that when we think, okay, well, I'm broken and no one notices, God notices your hurt. God notices your pain. He hears your prayers, that we're noticed, that we're secured. The verse that we looked at last week said that God protects the bones of the righteous. He will not let one of us be broken, that we are protected, that while we feel like stuff is coming our direction and we don't know if it's ever going to stop, it may never stop, but we are protected. So we're noticed and we're protected. And that we can remain hopeful, that if there is hope and if there is healing for every hurt that we will ever experience, we can remain hopeful. We can continue to trust in God even through the midst of hurt, even through the midst of pain, even through the midst of disease, even through the midst of relationship struggles. We can stay hopeful because God has healing and God has hope for every hurt that comes our way. And that's where we began this series last week, and that's where we're going to build off of this week. Now, to move into the new context, I want to tell you a story, and I'm going to actually start with a question. How many of you in here, just by raising your hands, there's two groups of people in the world. There's those of you who like it really dark when they sleep, and those of you who like a little natural light in the room when they sleep. So let me ask you, how many of you are the people who you like a little natural light, and you like the sun shining in the morning? How many of you guys are those people? Just raise your hand. Go ahead, raise them high. You can be proud of that. That's great, okay? How many of you are the people who you like it so dark, you use like the eclipse blackout curtains, you want it like just pitch black, you want to be woken up by your alarm clock? Okay, good. All right, cool. Now, just to let you know, I am one of the latter group. I like it as, I told Jalen that I like it as dark as Jerry Jones's soul in the bedroom, like when we're sleeping. And if you don't get that, you're not a Cowboys fan or a football fan, and you're lucky. And so anyway, But I like it completely dark. If it was up to me, we would have double blackout curtains on every single window in our bedroom. And then we had a baby, and she doesn't like the dark, and so I'm miserable right now. Not miserable, but you know, like I like it dark in the room. And when the morning comes and there's like a little bit of sun shining through, my life just gets kind of ruined in that moment. Like not actually ruined, but it's damaged and it's hurt. And anyway, so I like it completely dark, and I want my alarm to wake me up. I don't want natural light or any kind of light to wake me up. Now, to give you a little bit of perspective into my everyday life, into my morning, what happens is typically Jalen wakes up a little earlier than I do, and as this would be, we have our master bedroom, and then there's our bathroom on the side, and there's not a door that goes between. It's just kind of like one of those open archways. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's this kind of little open arch, and so from our bedroom to there's no dividing thing. And when she gets up, naturally she goes into that bathroom area, and she starts to get ready. And what do you think the first thing she does is? She turns on the light. And in case you're thinking, oh, it's probably not this nice little soft light. No, this is like double sink, big old mirror. And you know those like dressing room light bulbs that they have to like, you know, show every blemish that every person ever has had in the history of the world. Those are the types of lights that are above this mirror. And my side of the bed, because I have a side of the bed, even if Jalen doesn't respect it, my side of the bed is closest to the bathroom. And so there's no door, and she turns on the light, and it's just like piercing, blinding light that if the sunlight didn't wake me up from that little inch of curtain that wasn't closed, this light wakes me up. And every single day when this happens, I have the exact same thought, and it's been going on now for about 2 years since we moved to Las Cruces. And here's the thought. I want to put it up on screen because this is really the thing that I think every morning about 7 a.m., if you go and put up that first slide, is this is so easily avoidable. Why are you doing this to me? Anybody ever had that thought in the morning? Like someone's making too much noise, they're allowing too much light, that this is so easily avoidable. Why are you doing this to me? And when I think easily avoidable, I'm really sitting there thinking, you could do your makeup in the dark. You could do your hair in the dark. You could go to work just and find, you know, it could be a great mystery. What am I going to look like today? This is so easily avoidable. You don't have to turn the light on first thing. Or you could like gently tap me and be like, hey, babe, I'm about to turn on the light. But every morning I'm woken up with, light in my eyes, and now I'm gonna die. And recently, because I'm trying to get in touch with, you know, Hispanic roots that I don't really have, every morning when she does it, you know, sometimes I say this out loud, this is so easily avoidable, why are you doing this to me? And then under my breath, I mumble, Diablo. And then because I'm on mornings when I really want to get gender specific, I'm like, Diabla, and, you know, and I don't think that's a thing, but this is what I feel every single morning. This is so easily avoidable. Why are you doing this to me? Couldn't you go somewhere? You know, like there's, you know, and that's ridiculous and that's silly and it really does happen. But I mean, in the course of life, in the course of hurt and pain, this is not really a big deal, right? But here's why I say that, and here's why I tell you that story, here's why I bring it up. Because for you and for me, when we have those moments of hurt, when we have moments of pain, when we're experiencing difficulty, the biggest question that we ask is very similar to this question. And when we look at God and when we think about God in the midst of hurt and pain, and you may be a person who thinks about God a lot, you may be a person who doesn't think about God a whole lot, you may be a person who, because of difficulty and hurt and pain, you've kind of put God on the back burner and you thought that maybe he wasn't looking out for you. But when you get hit by hurt and pain, when you experience it, you kind of look to God the same way I look to Jalen about every morning at 7 a.m. He said, this is so easily avoidable, God. Why are you doing this to me? Why? That's our big question. Would you guys just say why? Our question is why. Why hurt? Why breakup? Why cancer? Why strep? Why broken ankles? Why, you know, why broken collarbones on Aaron Rodgers? Why, you know, why this? Why this? Why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? And God, if you're all powerful and you're all loving and you real, like, this is actually easily avoidable. You could have sent this to someone else. You could have just not sent this to anyone. This is easily avoidable. Why are you doing this to me? And as Christians, I think a lot of times we can kind of get into like debate mode where we debate things and we think things and argue things like, well, did God cause it or did God allow it? And here's the thing. I mean, I think that's an interesting debate. And I think, you know, like when I'm not going through hurt and pain, I enjoy sitting around and talking about things like that. But when I'm experiencing hurt and pain, guess what I don't really care about? I don't care if God caused it or God allowed it. I just really want to know why. Any of you feel the same way? That I just want to know why. And here's the reason. I think that question of, you know, God, why is this happening? Why did you allow this? Why is this happening to me? I think it leads us to one of two places. And the first one might be that you may still be a believer going through hurt and pain, but as a believer, you just want to know why. And the reason you want to know why, if you'd put up that next screen, if you're a believer, is you just kind of want to know, what is God doing? In the middle of hurt and pain, you want to know, what is God doing? Because God, okay, God, I believe in you. I believe there's a why, but I want to know what it is. Like, I want to see today what it is that maybe you're trying to cause for tomorrow. Does that make sense? God, I want to know today what it is that maybe you're allowing this hurt in my life, that you're trying to build something, that you're trying to do something, that you're trying to form something in me. And if I can see tomorrow today, I can keep going. If I can know the purpose behind this breakup, if I can know the purpose behind the fights in our marriage, if I can know the purpose behind the difficulty that we seem to have parenting, if I can know the purpose behind why I lost this job, if I can know the purpose behind any of that stuff, I can keep going, I can keep hoping, I can keep persevering, I can endure just about anything if I know the purpose But one of the great frustrations of the Christian faith is that we often live today hoping we'll understand what God is doing tomorrow, but we will not see what God is doing until tomorrow. Does that make sense? It's one of the great frustrations of following Jesus is we are hoping today, living today, while believing that God is accomplishing something for tomorrow, and we won't see what he's doing tomorrow until tomorrow, until tomorrow is that day, until we're living in that day. It's one of the great frustrations of people of faith, that God calls us to trust in him and believe that there is purpose while we can't see the purpose. We have to wait for the purpose. So as a believer, sometimes we go, okay, well, I just want to know, what is God doing? What are you up to? You know, like, what, you know, so you caused this, you allowed this, you allowed me to experience this. What are you doing? And so sometimes we end up in that place. And for some of you today, maybe you're in the place where you're what you would maybe call, or what I would call, a can't believer. And if you put up the can't believer thing, the can't believer, your reason, what you would say is like, look, pain is the proof that a good and a loving God just doesn't exist. When we experience hurt, when we experiencing pain, I mean, we think like, look, God, this is easily avoidable. You could avoid this. You could, if there was a good and a loving God, he would not allow bad things to happen to good people. If there was a good and a loving God, he wouldn't allow bad things to happen to people that he cares about. Anybody ever thought that? You don't have to raise your hand. But here's the thing. I mean, if some of us, I don't know what it is that happened to you that's led you to this point. I'm so glad you're here today, though. And let me just say, I get this thought. I've had this thought that maybe, just maybe, like, hey, if God's good like he says, and if he's loving like he says, maybe all the bad, like he could, this bad stuff doesn't have to happen. And so the can't believer, you would say, well, pain is the proof that a good and a loving God doesn't exist, because a good and a loving God wouldn't let that happen to people he cares about, and wouldn't let that happen to people who are following him, and it wouldn't let that happen to good people. And if you've had that thought, let me just maybe challenge it a little bit. See, because I think maybe sometimes we misunderstand good and loving God. We misunderstand momentary good for ultimate good. We confuse momentary good and ultimate good. And we misunderstand momentarily I feel loved for ultimately I am loved. Does that make sense? That we mistake, okay, well, what I'm experiencing right now doesn't feel good, but maybe, just maybe, God is doing something that's ultimately good out of it. And even though I don't feel loved because I don't like what's happening right now, does not mean that I am not ultimately loved. Maybe the most loving thing God could be doing at the moment is allowing me to experience this, so it drives me closer and closer to him. And here's the thing that I think is the biggest reason that I would say that. When you look at the Jesus story, when you look at what happened with Jesus in his life, in his ministry, and especially at the end of his life, at the cross, I mean, when you think of this, Christianity began with God allowing unthinkable and unimaginable bad to happen to his perfect son. The way we put it on screen, that Christianity began with God allowing his perfect son to experience unimaginable pain. His perfect son, I mean, perfect meaning ultimately good, perfect meaning had never sinned, perfect meaning he was as good as anyone would ever be. His perfect son, God allowed unimaginable pain to happen to the perfect son. His son, who he loved above anybody else in all creation, God allowed unimaginable pain and unjust pain and unjustified pain to happen to him. And that's how the Christian story begins. And that's how we're connected to God. God allowed incredible pain to happen to a good person, the best a person would ever be, who he loved incredibly. God allowed unimaginable pain to come to that person because there was something that he was trying to accomplish. Does that make sense? That when God is trying to accomplish something, when God is working for something, when God has a purpose, he will allow us to experience pain, because there's ultimately something good on the other side. And today what I want us to do is I want us to read a passage of scripture together that I think shows us what this looks like and shows us an attitude that we can adopt and an attitude that we can embrace and live out. And what I think this is really is this is what faith looks like lived out in the middle of pain. And I want to show us an attitude that maybe you have not ever really thought of before, but this is an attitude that helps us to keep perspective and keep our eyes open to what God is doing and what Jesus is doing in our lives if we continue to follow him, and what we will eventually see if we don't give up hope, if we keep following through the pain. So we're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, we're going to put them on screen so you can read along. But here's what Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians 12. He begins by talking in this chapter about how good life had been to him early on and how much he had accomplished as a young Pharisee and how he was really on such a track and the amazing things that God had done through him as an early believer. But then he starts to go in a different direction. In verse 5, he says this, "That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it." Instead, he said, "I will boast only about my," what's that last word? "I'll boast only about my weaknesses." Now, that sounds weird because in our world, we only boast about our strengths, right? That when you think about things that you take pride in, when you think about things that you like to tell stories about, it's all your successes, it's all your strengths, it's all the things that you think you've done well and you're proud of. And when you were little, it was, you know, "I can't wait to get home and tell mom and dad about this." And once you get married, it's like, "I can't wait to get home to show my husband, to show my wife, you know, my kids are going to be proud. Like, I'm going to show them how big and strong daddy is, how amazing mommy is," like all this kind of stuff. We think about our strengths and we tend to hide our weaknesses. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to boast about that stuff that everybody else thinks is worth boasting about. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. And he's not talking about physical weakness here. He's not like, "Guys, guess what? I've never won an arm wrestling competition." Yeah. He's not like, "Guys, guess what? I can only do girl push-ups." That's not what he's saying. Look, there are certain things in my life that I have absolutely no ability to affect. There are certain things in my life that I've had absolutely no ability on my own to change. And there are certain things that if I had to do them differently, I would choose to do them differently. And Paul says, those are the things that I want to talk about for a little bit. And those are the things that I actually want my life to be noticed for and to be known for. And that's what I want to boast about for a little bit. And so buckle up, because you're thinking, well, this is a really odd way to start a thing. This is what Paul wanted to talk about. In verse 6, he said this, "If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth." In other words, he's like, "Hey, I have accomplished some stuff. Like, I have a good track record. I've done some really good stuff. I've been a really good person. I would not be a fool to boast about my own goodness." But, he says, "But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message." Verse 7, he says, "Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God." In other words, he's saying, look, I've experienced good, I've experienced bad, I've experienced ups and I've experienced downs. And what I really want people to see and know from my life is that through the ups and the downs, there is one constant thing that they can see. And I am not the constant thing they can see. He goes on to tell me that, to say this in verse 7, the second half of verse 7, he says this. "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was," what's that word? "To keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh. A messenger," you were given, you think of it as a gift? Yeah. "I was given a thorn in my flesh." Anyone ever stepped on a goat head? Doesn't that feel great? I mean, this is Paul literally saying, like, "So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given the gift of stepping on a goat head in the middle of the night. I was given the gift of stepping on Legos in pitch black room. To keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me." I mean, not to bother me a little bit. Paul understood that this was not given to me so that I could be annoyed by it. To torment me. And to keep me from becoming, what's that last word? From becoming proud. Now, Paul, I mean, this is buckle up time when we read scripture together, right? Because we go, whoa, okay, this is not like encouragement in the middle. Like, this is literally, Paul seemed to understand and think and really believe that this thorn in the flesh, what he called a messenger from Satan, and when he says a messenger from Satan, he's literally saying, this hurts like hell itself. This hurts like going to hell itself. Something that feels like it came from hell hurts me deeply. And it's here to torment me. But then how does this thing start? He says, look, I was given. Would you say given? Which means Paul believed that this was a gift. You're going, wait, what? Paul believed there was a purpose. In other translations, it says this, in order to keep me from being proud. In case you missed the purpose, put up the next slide. It wasn't just that he was given. This was given with a purpose. And it was given to keep him from becoming proud. At the beginning, at the end of this verse, Paul seemed to have a deep understanding that there was something far worse than a tormenting thorn in the flesh that came as a messenger from Satan. And for him, what would have been far worse than that was becoming proud, living a prideful life that acted as if he didn't need anyone or anything and certainly didn't need God. That life was worse than the life where God gave him the gift of a tormentor, of a thorn in the flesh. Now, there's some discussion about, like, well, what was this? Like, you know, what was this thorn in the flesh? There's kind of two general theories. My favorite one that I think is just really funny is that a lot of people believe he's actually referring to his wife, that they had a difficult relationship. Some of you guys are like, I know what you mean. You know, like a lot of people believe that he knew that his relationship with his wife was so difficult that his wife was rather cantankerous. There's kind of some hints throughout different letters that this relationship was so difficult, he felt it as a hindrance to his ministry. Another theory is that when, if you're familiar with Paul's story, at one point in his life, he was known as Saul, and he was a persecutor of Christians. And on the road to arrest and kill Christians, God stopped him, and God temporarily blinded him, and then God healed him and called him to go and preach the gospel to all corners of the world, and eventually to write over a third of the New Testament. And what a lot of people believe is that while God restored his sight, his eyes never fully recovered, that there was always some kind of after effects and some secondhand things that happened, that God restored his sight, but there were like blinding headaches that came with, you know, that came along with it, and that his sight was never fully restored and his eyes hurt immensely. That's kind of one of the two theories. But whatever it is, what we really want to focus on is this perspective that Paul believed, no, this isn't a burden. This pain, this hurt, this experience of difficulty, it's not a burden. This is actually a gift. This is a blessing. Because the worst thing that could happen is for me to preach on my own, do amazing miracles on my own, spread the love of God on my own, and for me to then stand up and think that, well, because this happened through me, then I'm something pretty special. Paul understood that this difficult situation in his life was actually a gift and actually a blessing. He goes on in verse 8, he says this, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Have you ever had that moment where you were just literally like on your hands and knees, you were crying ugly prayers, and you were just like, God, like, do something about this. I can't take it anymore. That's what Paul was going through. 3 times I begged, not just once, not twice, 3 times I begged the Lord. I begged. I plead, whatever it takes, I'll do it. Just take it away. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. My power works best in what? My power works best in weakness. Oh, no, power works best in strength. And God says, no, that's not how this works. My power, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. For my strength, my power, it works best in your weakness. He goes on, he says, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. In other words, I haven't always had this perspective. This is something that I came to. This is something that I've learned to understand. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure. What? Paul, how'd you get to this point? Well, it's been a while. That's how I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is a difficult place to come to. And this is a difficult perspective to embrace. And this is a difficult thing to understand and to actually understand and view the difficult seasons and the difficult stretches and the difficult relationships and the hardships and the hurt and the diseases and the diagnosis. But to actually look at this and say, look, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to view it as a gift. I'm not going to view it as a burden. I'm going to view it as a blessing. This is a hard perspective to take, but I'll tell you what, this is a perspective that leads us to God, not away from God when we experience hurt, when we experience pain. This causes us to lean in and say, God, look, I'm going to continue to trust, I'm going to continue to believe, I'm going to continue to embrace you, and I'm just going to count on that you really are doing something in this. There is a purpose, there is a plan, there is something that you're trying to accomplish, and so until I see it, I'm not giving up, I'm not going to lean away, I'm not going to lean back, I'm not going to walk away, I'm going to continue to walk following you because you're up to something, and when I'm weak, you will show yourself strong. See, what the bottom line today is simply this, that we have the choice. We have a choice. You have a choice, and I have the choice, and we have the option of accepting our pain as a gift from God. That when you go through difficulty, and if you're not now, you know, in the next couple years, you probably will, because Jesus promised you're going to have troubles, you know, and again, we're really encouraged by that. But when you go through difficulties, when you go through trials, when you do face a breakup, when life doesn't go the way you thought, when you graduate college and you don't have the job right away, and it takes a year, or it takes 2 years, or it takes 3 years, or it takes 10 years, and when marriage isn't what you thought it was, and when parenting isn't all just holding your baby and them looking cute and they spit up on you and they keep you up all night, and when you lose the job, and when you don't know where you're going to stay, and when everything's up in the air, you have the option, and I have the option of saying, God, thank you. This is not a burden for me to bear. This is a blessing that you have brought me. And that's difficult. And that's hard. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus in the middle of difficult, hard times, that where it's easy to view it as a burden and it's hard to see it as a blessing, this is where God shows up. And this is where God meets us. And this is where God reminds us that in our weakness, he is strong. And in our physical and in our emotional and in our difficult, in our everyday human weakness, God allows his supernatural strength to flow through us and to flow to us and to allow us to keep walking and keep pressing and keep going when it's easy to give up. That we have the option of accepting our pain as a gift from God. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. In other words, there's seas and there's stuff that throws me this way and that way and this way and that way, but I have learned to embrace and love the waves that crash me up against the rock of ages, because if it pushes me to lean into God's strength, that's exactly where I want to be. Does that make sense? So I've learned to kiss and appreciate and love and embrace the wave that's pushing me in a direction that I don't feel comfortable in and causing me to move out of my own strength and into areas that I feel weak, and this relationship wasn't what I thought it'd be, but I'm going to lean and trust and hope into Jesus, and that's where Jesus wants you to be, leaning and hoping and trusting in him. Because when we lean and we trust and we hope in him, we eventually and ultimately will see his plan and his purpose fulfilled in our lives. That God is always up to something in our hurt. That God is always up to something in our pain. That God is always doing something with our hurt, even if we can't see it. And today, as we close up in the next 10 minutes, what I would like to do is remind us of three things that I think God is often doing in and with and through our hurt that we may not always love, but we will always love afterwards if we stick through and we keep our eyes on Jesus. So here's a couple things that I think God uses our pain to do. He uses our pain to teach us, to protect us, and to use us. Would you say to teach us? God uses our pain to teach us. See, here's the thing. Many of us would think, well, I don't want to learn any of those lessons. If pain is the only way to learn that lesson, I don't need to learn that lesson. And there are certain lessons in our lives, and you know this, and we all understand this. There are certain lessons in our lives that we only learn through pain. And there are certain lessons in our lives that we learn best through pain. Think of this. When you were a kid and your parents told you, don't touch the stove, it's hot, you believed them, right? Like, you believed them. You thought, well, I probably shouldn't touch that stove. It's hot. And then what did you do? You touched the stove. Now, we just learned a lot about personalities, because some of you are like, I didn't touch the stove, and you're the compliant child, and you were wonderful people. And then some of you are like, I touched that stove so fast, they didn't even get a chance to turn around. I was like, I'm touching it. And here's the thing. You believed when they told you that it was hot. You just wanted to know how hot it was. And as soon as you put that hand on the stove, you thought, oh, that's how hot. And the lesson that you could not learn without the pain, you learned really quickly through the pain. Does that make sense? There are certain lessons in life that, unfortunately, and I don't know if it's because of human nature, I don't know if it's because of sinful nature that's kind of gone in through us, I don't know what it is. There are certain lessons that we only learn, or that we best learn, through pain. I don't like that, and I'm going to guess you don't like that either, but there are things that God wants us to learn, and God wants us to understand, and because he knows us best, he knows that sometimes hurt and pain is the only way we will learn that lesson, and sometimes it's the best way that we will learn that lesson. What might God be trying to teach us? He might be trying to correct some behavior in us, helping us to see the error in our ways. You've been dating and dating and dating and dating, and you've been dating the wrong people and the wrong people and the wrong people and the wrong people, and you wonder, why does it always hurt so bad when the relationship ends? Because God might be trying to teach you, don't go for those wrong people. That's why it hurts, because God is trying to actually correct something in you. God may be trying to help you understand something about him, that your pain leads you to him, and in the pain leading you to him, you understand something about him. He may be trying to shape how we see the world, how we see people around us. He may be through some financial difficulty. He may be trying to remind you, hey, I have a plan for your finances, and if you'll handle your finances my way, things will go better for you. There is a better way. When family relationships get difficult, it may be God trying to move us to a place where we say, you know what, God, I'm going to treat my marriage, I'm going to treat my parenting, I'm going to treat my relationships with my brothers and sisters, I'm going to approach them your way. And we've said this many times, that life can be really, really, really complicated and difficult until we follow Jesus and we allow him to make life simple. Not easy, but simple. That Jesus makes simple what life makes complicated and what we often want to make complicated. That God is often trying to teach us something, and if we will keep our eyes open to what God is doing, we actually learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. For some of us, God may simply be trying to say, hey, it's time to get over yourself. Life is not all about you. For some of you, when you think about your past and you think like, man, it just hurts to think about the past, that may be God trying to remind you to not ever go back there. And go back to the things that caused your past to hurt. That God is always up to something, and God may be trying to teach us something. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, a verse that we looked at last week, says this, for our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us. They produce something. They're doing something. They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. There's something that God may be trying to teach us in the middle of our pain. So God's going to use our pain to teach us. Sometimes he's going to use our pain to protect us. And this is a difficult one. This is one that I think for many of us today, this may be a new category in when you think about pain. But if you think about it this way, there are different levels of pain, and we all kind of understand that, right? And the different levels of pain are really all about the different intensity levels of pain. For example, if you have a leg, how many of you have a leg in here? Like at least one. Okay, good. Okay, good. If you ever have a leg, you know that there's a difference between a thigh bruise and a broken femur. I mean, a broken femur, when you go to a doctor, you know, they will say, broken femur, like when we say 1 to 10, 10's a broken femur. Bone bruise is like a 1. Or like, you know, just a bruise on your leg, that's like a 1. And so we understand that there's different levels of intensity when it comes to pain. And here's the thing. If you could talk to anyone who has ever had a broken femur, they would say, look, if I could have controlled it when it was just a bone, when it was just a bruise and stopped it, I would have absolutely stopped whatever it was that eventually crushed my femur. Does that make sense? If in case it doesn't make sense, let me try to say it this way. That God sometimes allows little pains in our lives to serve as an alarm because he knows if we keep going in the direction we're going, it will cause some big, intense pains. Does that make sense? So when we had Noble, my portion of the night that I had was always like 12 to 4. So if she woke up from 12 to 4, that was my shift. And one thing that I noticed really readily in my shift of, you know, feeding a newborn baby was that she would, you know, take about half of the bottle, and then Jalen had said, well, you need to take it away from her when it's about halfway through, and you need to slow her down and burp her so that she doesn't get really gassy and so that she doesn't drink it too fast and throw up. And the first time I was feeding her, I kind of ignored that advice, and guess what happened? She got really gassy, and she threw up. So the next night when it happened, I took the bottle away at the half point, and I tried to burp her. Do you want to guess how she reacted to me taking away the bottle, the thing that she loved? Not well. She started screaming. She actually took a swing at me, which I was like, you're 3 weeks old. Why are you taking a swing at anyone, you rude little baby? And so anyway, you know, so I these are interesting, you know, Noble and Daddy conversations that happen at 2:30 in the morning. And so I noticed something in that moment, that it hurt her for me to take away the bottle and the thing that she loved. And yet from my perspective, I was taking away the thing that she loved so that it didn't cause more pain. And as a dad, I am absolutely okay causing a little bit of pain to help her avoid larger, more intense pain. And I think when God looks at you and when God looks at me, he often looks at us in the same way. And he says, look, God is absolutely okay causing little bits of pain to serve as an alarm to get your attention, to help you avoid larger, bigger pain. Does that make sense? That God is protecting us often through our pain. So here's the thing. You kind of think, well, how does that apply? Here's the thing. Getting broken up with, it hurts. The pain of getting broken up with, it hurts. Breaking off a dating relationship, that hurts. It hurts far less than the breaking up of a marriage someday. If the person was eventually going to break your heart, it's far better that it happened while you're dating than when it happened when your lives are tied together in marriage. Does that make sense? That's a perspective that's hard to hear if you've ever been through a breakup or if you're going through it now. But that's a perspective that we need to hear. It's far better than it happened now. If it was going to happen eventually, it should happen immediately. The pain of feeling lonely is far better than the pain of having your life connected to the wrong people. That God will use small pain, and God will sometimes use medium pain as an alarm to keep us from intense, severe, extreme pain. That God is going to teach us through our pain. God is going to protect us through our pain. And then finally, God's going to use us through our pain. See, I have no difficulty saying this. I think it's incredibly probable, and I think it's almost a definite, that in your life, your greatest impact and your greatest ministry that you will ever experience will ultimately be somehow connected to your greatest hurt in your life. That the thing that in the middle of it, when you look, this is so much hurt, this is so much pain, I don't know how anything good can come of this, that someday this will just be a season that you look back on. Someday this will be something that you got through. Someday this will be something that you fought through. Someday this will be something that you pushed through and you trusted through and you kept believing through. And on the other side of this season, what you will be amazing at is turning around and looking back to find someone else who's currently in the season that you were once in and helping pull them through and push them through and encourage them through and help them hope through the season that they're in because you made it through that season. Does that make sense? I mean, in the Old Testament, there's a man named Joseph, not the man who eventually became the earthly father of Jesus, but there's another Joseph. And Joseph, after being sold into slavery by his brothers and being put into jail for years and seeing all of his dreams dashed for years and years and years and years and years, eventually he becomes basically the second in command in the land of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at that time. His brothers, who sold him into slavery, come to buy food. And eventually their relationship is restored, but his brothers are kind of always uneasy, going like, one day he's going to turn on us. He's going to turn on us the way that we turned on him. And he says this thing that is so unbelievably incredible. He says this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to here. Like, look, that pain, it wasn't about the thing. It wasn't about the breakup. God put me in this position so that I could save the lives of many people. And here's the thing, I think for us, we can understand and take that same perspective that God may have just put us through the thing so that we could save the lives, so that we could encourage, so that we could bring hope, so that we could bring belief back to these people who are going through it at the same thing that we went through. That when you've been hurt, when you've been scarred, when you've been put through the ringer, God may just use that to do more than you ever thought or you ever believed was possible. See, the thing is that people who have stared down cancer and they've navigated chemo, it turns out they're really great at helping people who are scared to death of a diagnosis of cancer. It turns out that people who had rocky starts to their marriage and then they found their footing, they're really good and they're really passionate about helping out people who face similar situations in their marriages. People who have fought depression and anxiety and they found peace in Jesus are incredible at talking to people who are going through the same things. We can thank God for our pain. We can thank God for the gift of our pain. We can thank God for the gift of our difficulty because in that, he's going to teach us, he's going to protect us, he's going to use us. And so three thoughts as we finish. Here's the three thoughts. Three things to take from this message. One is be teachable. Two is be protectable. And three is be willing. Be teachable simply means this. We can either say, well, I'm really frustrated by the pain and I don't want to learn any lessons. Or we can keep our eyes open and keep our ears open and say, God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? I want to learn. I'm going to approach my pain as a learner, as a disciple, as a student. I want to learn. I do not want this pain to be wasted, so I'm going to learn whatever you want to teach me. Be protectable. See, here's the thing. God is good, and God is loving, and God gives you free will. So he will let you run back to the things that he is trying to protect you from. Instead, why don't we say, you know what, God, if you're trying to protect me from that, I'm going to do everything I can to be protectable, and I'm going to stay away from the things that you want me to stay away from. And be willing simply means this, that sometimes we need to be vulnerable and be willing to be vulnerable to let God do what God wants to do through us. That when you've been through hurt and you've been through pain, the hardest thing that you think, that one of the hardest things is to open up and talk about that pain. And when you open up and talk about that pain, that's when God uses you the most. That God uses our vulnerability. God uses our pain when we're vulnerable, we're willing to open up, and we're willing to share. So be willing to step into and embrace whatever it is that God wants to do through your hurt and through your pain. We have a choice. We have an option to accept it, to treat it as if it's a burden and push it off and push it off and push it off, or to accept it as a blessing and a gift and say, God, whatever you want to do, whatever you're trying to do, whatever the purpose of this and whatever the plan is of this, I accept it and I thank you. So help me not to miss it. Help me not to miss what you want to do, and help me to be protectable. Help me not to run back to the things that you're trying to protect me from. So let's make that choice. Let's make that choice to continue to lean in, to continue to trust, to continue to have faith, and watch what God does and listen for what God says. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what you're trying to teach us in your word. Thank you for what you're trying to show us. Thank you that we can choose in our moments of hurt and pain to view it as a blessing, to view it as a gift. And God, I know for all of us, our tendency is to view it as a burden, but I pray right now that we would view it as the gift that you are trying to give us. And God, in that gift, God, that you would help us to be teachable, to learn and to approach our hurt and our pain as the students that you want us to be. God, help us to be protectable. God, help us to not be the people who run back to the things that you're trying to protect us from. Help us to learn the lesson you're trying to help us learn and stay away from the things that we need to stay away from. And God, ultimately, help us to be willing to let you use our hurt and our pain to do something bigger than we can possibly imagine. God, bless people through our difficult times. Bless people through our hurt. Bless people through our pain. And God, we just want to say today that we're willing, and we're willing to be vulnerable and open up and share our experience if that's what it takes. So God, help us to do this. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean into you. And God, we just can't wait to see what it is that you're going to do and how you're going to show yourself faithful and strong. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for being here today. We would love to see you next week for part 3 of Fracture. Have a great Sunday.